Hi, I'm Brett Vinod, the host of School Sucks Podcast, and I'm happy to be one of the speakers at the Free State Project's 2011 Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's happening this June 20th through the 26th at Rogers Campground in Lancaster, New Hampshire. Join me and a thousand other lovers of freedom for a week that you won't want to miss. And they've got all kinds of things planned, activities for kids, information about homeschooling and unschooling, campfires, games, panel discussions on activism, Agora Alley, Alt Expo, and much, much more. You're going to learn more at Porkfest than you did in all 15,000 hours of government school. It's true. But the best thing about Porkfest is the community of people that you can meet there. That's what Porkfest is all about, and I know you'll have a great time if you can make it. Visit porcfest.com to get your ticket, and you can use coupon code SCHOOLSUCKS, all one word, for another 20% off. Once again, that's porcfest.com. And I'll see you at Porkfest.
Hey, this is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks Podcast. Today is May 30th, 2011. Today, supplemental show, my appearance from last Friday on Adam vs. the Man. This is his School's Out for Summer special. And this is the show in its entirety. And I definitely thought it was worth hearing. It was very well done. And I thought it was worth taking with you, which is why I made this audio version for your little iPod there. So, incidentally, afterwards, Adam was assaulted and arrested for dancing at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. I'll put a link to that whole scene in the show notes so you can check it out for yourself. Also, this, even though it might not sound perfect, is a new microphone, and I'm still playing around with it to figure out the optimization as far as the sound quality is concerned. I purchased it on Friday, along with an HD webcam. So, two good purchases, and I just want to say thanks to all the people who contribute money to the show every month, as well as those who send an occasional donation. It really helps, and it makes it easy for me to go out and pick up some relatively expensive new equipment if the situation calls for it, like, say, an interview on international cable television. Anyway, new shows are coming soon. I am going to be on The Unplugged Mom with Laurette Lynn this Friday as a guest host. So visit her site, unplugmom.com, where you can find out how to listen to that. And that's it. So thanks for listening to this, and take care.
Welcome to the Adam versus the Man School's Out for Summer special. Congratulations to all of our viewers completing a term of forced government indoctrination. Tonight, we are here to help you
unlearn what you have learned.
Learning about what really matters. Never let your schooling get in the way of your education. Stefan Molyneux joins us to explain how children are people, too. Students for Liberty is in studio for a jobs forecast. It's not going to be raining jobs. We'll play Is It a School or Is It a Prison? And we've got Brett Vinod of the School Sucks podcast. And dancing. And more singing. And school's out, but class is in. You're watching Adam versus the Man.
The passion of our hearts will be raised with our fists.
The natural state of a child's mind is to be learning, assimilating information, and figuring out how to survive and prosper in this world. When you take such a beautiful mind, force it into a classroom, and force feed it pro-government propaganda, that process grinds to a halt. And anyone who has spent any time at a government-run school, or should I say indoctrination center, or maybe rather prison for people who haven't done anything wrong yet, knows they probably learned more outside the classroom than in it. And the stuff that was actually useful that they learned inside the classroom could have been learned much faster if students were allowed to learn at their own pace and focus on subjects that were of actual interest to them. It doesn't make any sense to torture a child with 12 years of mathematics education if they're passionate about art. And it doesn't help the math whiz to be forced into studying art history. But why do so many students hate going to school? Maybe it's because they, you know, like to be free, you know, like the rest of us. But what does that matter to the president? You would think a lot from his rhetoric. Here he is delivering this year's commencement at Booker T. Washington High School.
The success of our economy will depend on your skills, but the success of our community will depend on your ability to follow the golden rule, to treat others as you would like to be treated.
To follow the golden rule. Mr. President, how would you like to be forced into a system that you don't want to be a part of just to receive a diploma that can't get you a job anyway? According to Stefan Molyneux, in the premier issue of the Freedom's Phoenix Easy, nearly half of all students in major cities drop out of high school. Every day, an average of 7,200 students drop out of school. That is 13 million children fleeing state schools every year. 42 million American adults can't read at all. 50 million can only read at a fourth or fifth grade level. And the number of adults classified as functionally illiterate increases by about 2.25 million each year. 20% of high school seniors can be classified as being functionally illiterate at the time they graduate. And after this, after 15,000 hours of state education, 75% of unemployed adults have difficulty reading and writing at a basic level. 7 in 10 adults in prison perform at the lowest literacy levels. And 85% of all juvenile offenders are functionally or marginally illiterate. Almost all of them were forced to go to government schools for many, many years. But all of this is meaningless without questioning the purpose behind government schools. We've been led to believe by pretentious politicians that the purpose of government-run schools is to educate people. If that was the case, there might be some more effective education occurring. And yes, many teachers in the classrooms are doing their best. However, the architects of this system know the real purpose behind it. And the reason the government takeover of education continues to expand and reduce opportunities for American children is, as H.L. Mencken said, quote, "The aim of public education is not to spread enlightenment at all. It is simply to reduce as many individuals as possible to the same safe level, to breed and train a standardized citizenry, to put down dissent and originality."
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Joining me now from Ontario, Canada, is philosopher and host of freedomainradio.com, Stefan Molyneux. Stefan, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Brett.
All right, so let's start from the basics. Are children actually people deserving of rights too, or are they the property of their parents?
Yeah, children are people complete and full. They are, small human beings who need care and guidance and who need rules appropriately applied. And my rule of thumb as a parent is to say, will my daughter thank me for this in 10 or 15 years? So if I keep her safe and protected and brush her teeth, she's going to say, thanks for doing all of that. If I hit her for questioning me, she's not going to say thank you for that. So I really try to guide my parenting, and I think it's a good rule of thumb, to say, what will my kid thank me for when they become an adult? And I think that's a pretty good way to approach it.
So what does this mean for how children should be raised?
Well, children should be raised peacefully and reasonably. And you might want to check out, or I'd like to recommend Alison Gutler's book, The Philosophical Baby. She's been on my show, which says that children can start to reason morally and understand the difference between arbitrary rules like here's where you hang your hat and moral rules like don't hit, don't steal as early as 14 or 15 months of age. And I've certainly found with my own parenting that my daughter is very, very clear on what is moral and what is just an arbitrary rule that's sort of for convenience. And so, yeah, we should treat them as morally thinking and reasoning human beings. They can do statistical analysis as early as 8 months old. So I think we should be more in awe of them and less in control of them.
How old is your daughter now, Stefan?
She is 29 months.
And you've already had some experiences dealing with her expressing her personal preferences in ways that a lot of traditional parents would not have respected. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a kid in a playground not too far from here. He's an older kid, and he's a little wild, a little rough, and doesn't really understand
How much older?
He's he was 8 or 9. It's hard to, I mean, I'm not an expert on it. He's about 8 or 9, and he's kind of rough. And Isabella, my daughter, was not so keen on playing with him. You know, I'd say, do you want to go and play? And she said no. And she's a little more keen on playing with older girls than anyone else, because we have friends who have older girls, so she really likes them. And so she expresses her preference. I don't want to go and play with this person. I want to go and play with this person. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's fantastic. I mean, how often are we told, well, no, you have to go and kiss your smelly old grandma, so to speak. And rather than respecting the child and saying, okay, so you don't want to, let's talk about it, and I want to find out why and understand. And I think if we can keep children secure in their own preferences and respect for their own preferences, I think we'll grow will grow a whole generation that will have very little patience for this top-down hierarchy we call the state or even the school.
So aside from making sure that every child, as soon as they learn how to talk and listen, assumed that they should be listening to your podcast at freedomainradio.com, what are the implications of this for how children should be educated?
Well, I think that when you say something like children should be educated, there's a should in there, which I wouldn't agree with. And there's also the idea that education is something that is imposed on children from outside. And I did not stand my daughter up and prop her up on stilts and say, here's how you walk. And I didn't sort of make her learn how to talk. These are things that erupt. They spontaneously erupt out of great desire for children. The purpose of a parent, I think, is almost to put the brakes on the child's accelerated learning. So my daughter wants to learn how to jump off everything. I think she'd get to the top of the Eiffel Tower and think she could do that as well. So it's really to slow down and focus the child's attention. And so I think that what we want to do is facilitate the child's natural desire to absorb and learn about the world. My daughter hears a sound, she'll mimic it. She hears a word in a foreign language, mm-hmm. she'll try to mimic it. She tries to piece everything together. You can't stop her from wanting to do puzzles. And so it really is to focus
That's not true. You can stop her from wanting to do puzzles. You put her in a public school, or rather a government-run school, where she's forced to be there and miserable every day. She'll not, like I was as a kid, not want to have anything to do with anything academic at all. Anyways, that's all the time we have. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right, that was philosopher and host of freedomainradio.com, Stefan Molyneux. And now, books that will get you in trouble. Because now that school's out, you can begin your real education. And I have some suggestions here, but let me say first, if you pick up one of the books I'm about to recommend and don't like it after five pages, move on. Your brain is naturally designed to be ready to absorb the information that is most important to your success in life. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. So today I'd like to recommend three books that were valuable to me. The first is The Law by Frederick Bastiat. Now, ironically, when we were putting the show together, I went to my bookshelf and realized that I had given away my copy of The Law. I like sharing books. Fortunately, like a lot of great books, it's available for free to download from the Ludwig von Mises Institute at Mises.org. It's a very short book, but it gives you a proper perspective on the law that is much closer to what Edward Abbey described it as, in contrast to today's commonly held delusions about it. He said, quote, government, if you refuse to pay unjust taxes, your property will be confiscated. If you attempt to defend your property, you will be arrested. If you resist arrest, you will be clubbed. If you defend yourself against clubbing, you will be shot dead. These procedures are known as the rule of law. All right, so the next book I have here is Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. Now, I know the length of this book might be a little bit intimidating. And, you know, even though I only read this a couple of years ago, I hesitated to pick it up myself before flying through all 1,368 pages. If you like fiction with a purpose, this book is for you. And if you saw the movie Atlas Shrugged, which was part one of three, and you're dying to see what happens next, you can actually skip ahead to where the movie left off and start there. So, finally, from my favorite author of all time, Dr. Ron Paul, Liberty Defined. This book is a great reference as well as a quick read, as Dr. Paul's crisp and direct writing style makes all of the 50 issues contained in this book very easy to wrap your head around. Each one is covered in just a few pages and gives you a principled way to make your point on most issues. If you feel like your government didn't want to teach you why empire's bad, what real money is, or why so many people graduate from high school without even learning how to read, this book's got you covered. But if I told you that reading was the only way to learn, I'd be lying. There are tons of great, informative, and entertaining documentaries out there, too, but don't limit yourself to just books and documentaries. Almost too many documentaries to list, so I'll just refer you to one website as a jumping-off point, trueworldhistory.info. And when I was putting this segment together and deciding what books to include, it didn't take me long, but someone said, great, something to keep kids out of trouble for the summer. Yeah, well, nothing could be further from the truth. Reading these books will probably get you in trouble if you live by the values they advocate, and I encourage that. Get in trouble, but for the right reasons.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
We all know that the economy sucks almost as bad as being held prisoner in a government-run high school, but the job prospects for young workers are especially bleak, and unemployment trends, as usual, are hitting young people the hardest. Joining me now for the take on this are the two co-founders of Students for Liberty, Sloan Frost and Alexander McCobin. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So for kids today, getting out of high school, getting out of college, facing a bleak job market, what does it look like?
It's a little intimidating to be looking out there with the kinds of education we've had, lack of preparation, but I think it means that we're ready for a new approach. We're ready to move on with our new ideas. We're ready to break out of the shell that education system has held us in, and I'm really excited for what we're going to be able to do.
Alexander?
I think it's important for our generation to recognize that we can't see jobs as manna from heaven to simply expect others to provide anymore. There's going to be a much greater emphasis on entrepreneurism and creating value, transitioning between different jobs than any other generation before. And we're seeing a lot of young people really embracing that.
It seems like there'd be a certain resentment, too. I mean, I'd like to think I'm beyond such petty things, but I got to say that for kids getting out of high school these days going, this diploma is not going to get me a job. Even out of college, you graduate from college with a degree, and half the time there are people who get jobs at McDonald's with college diplomas. I mean, is there some kind of resentment here for our parents' generation, you think, for what they've set us up for?
I think that students are sick of being held to a standard that may have worked in a cookie-cutter approach before but doesn't work for us anymore. You know, we learn through podcasts, through distance learning, by reading books on our own that we've picked up because we found them on Amazon or some other website.
Or and Students for Liberty recommended them.
Right, right. We have e-leadership seminars that we run every week. Students turn into these webinars. They learn new ideas that they might not learn in the classroom, and they're really popular. We've had thousands of students tune in. People are excited. They're going to learn. They're not going to be shackled by the parents' generation anymore.
So are they seeing that what they're learning from themselves in self-guided education like this is more valuable than what they were being taught in school?
Absolutely. The problem isn't with liberal arts education learning to decide whether certain ends are valuable or not. The problem is that they're not actually getting good liberal arts educations anymore. They have to go to reading books that we provide them so that they can study in the dorm rooms because they're not learning about Hayek or Rand or anyone else in the classroom. So it's really upon students today to get the sort of quality education that previous generations might have actually gotten.
Or at least something that helps them unlearn the propaganda, especially in economics, that isn't being taught or is being taught in government schools. But anyways, when we come back, Sloan and Alexander here will have a special opportunity to play a new Adam versus the Man exclusive game. Is it a school or is it a prison? Brett Vinat of the School Sucks podcast joins us, and as promised, more singing and dancing. Stay tuned. You're watching Adam versus the Man.
A redefinition that what we have today is not education.
Sometimes you see a story and it seems so whole and complete, you think you understand it, and then you glimpse something else. You hear or see some other part of it and realize everything you thought you knew, you don't know. I'm Tom Hartman. Welcome to The Big Picture.
Welcome back to Adam versus the Man. Alexander McCubbin and Sloan Frost of Students for Liberty are here to play a new game. Is it a school or is it a prison? You guys ready?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to read you a scenario, something that happened at a facility, either a school or a prison, and you have to guess which one we're talking about here, all right? Number one, ready for this? All right. An authority at this facility prohibited a resident from eating during mealtime. When the resident protested, he was restrained forcibly, and the authority sat on the resident until dead from suffocation. You can see how we're substituting deliberately vague language. You can't tell if it's a school or prison just from the story. Okay. The person who committed this in the official report said, all I was doing was my job. Is it a school or is it a prison?
Sounds like a war camp.
Sounds like I don't want to know the answer to it.
Well, for failing to give a correct answer, I'm going to have to say wrong. That was a school. It was where 14-year-old Cedric Napoleon had a history of abuse and starvation as a foster child and would panic when deprived of food. He died when his special education teacher decided to use a, quote, therapeutic floor hold with him after withholding his lunch. Apparently, he was hypoglycemic and had an episode, and the woman that did this is still teaching. All right, you ready for number two? A resident of this facility died when an armed guard intervened with excessive force. The resident was fatally shot after a run-of-the-mill scuffle with another resident. Is it a school or is it a prison?
It's got to be a prison.
I don't know any school police that carry guns.
Incorrect. And not to make light of this tragedy, this was November 12, 2010, when Derek Lopez was shot, 14-year-old, while fleeing from school district police officer Daniel Alvarado. He had just been in a neighborhood scuffle. The bus stop with a peer when Alvarado chased him into a nearby backyard with his gun drawn, according to eyewitnesses. The eighth grader was shot dead on the scene after rushing out of the backyard shed that he had hidden in. And this officer, by the way, was rewarded with paid administrative leave, so he's on desk duty getting paid, which really is kind of sad because most police officers that go, you know, and commit something like this, they end up on paid vacation. So, all right, we have one more here. Residents are routinely sentenced to periods up to 4 years at this facility with interspersed periods of conditional parole. During internment at this facility, residents are ordered to participate in labor for 8 to 12 hours a day, depending on varying assigned tasks of their authorities' choosing. And laws allow for labor to be assigned during parole periods. You guys seen a pattern here yet? Figuring this out? Starting to? All right.
I think we've lived that one.
Well, if you said that was a prison, again, that would be incorrect.
Sounds like the school I worked in.
All right. Simply put, this is obviously your average public high school. Children are sleep deprived and overworked for little or no educational benefit. So, two definitions for you now. Prison, a place or condition of confinement or forcible restraint. School, an institution for educating children. Which did example number three sound like there? Sending a child through this gauntlet is just as likely to ruin their life as empower it. All right, you guys were 0 for 3. Back to detention with you. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
tonight.
For having us.
Thank you.
All right. Brett Vinat is the host of the School Sucks podcast. A door to complete freedom, abandoning opportunity and greater personal satisfaction. Public education is the lock. This show is about finding the key. Brett, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Adam.
All right, so tell us, what is the biggest problem facing our educational system today?
Well, in one word, imposters. We have this monstrous, antiquated, soul-sucking bureaucracy called government school that for the last century has been masquerading around this country and others, calling itself education. And I think that one of the things that I'm trying to do with my show, and one of the things that I hope young people realize, is that this is a word that is in desperate need of redefinition. Like, education is a lifelong, self-directed, individual pursuit, and school certainly may suck, but education is wonderful and liberating.
All right.
So, the government school system is great. It does everything it was set up to do 100 years ago. It works perfectly. It's like the best government program ever.
That's a good point. So let me ask you a question then, because you've given this a lot of thought. You've really looked at the gaps, to put it mildly, in the indoctrination that children receive in America today. If you were invited to give a commencement speech at a high school graduation today, as Obama was recently, with kind of the meaningless cheerleading that you would expect. But from you, I would hope that you would have something a little more meaningful to impart on high school graduates. What would that be?
Well, you know, I would want them to know that obviously there's still a lot to learn, but more importantly, or perhaps equally importantly, there's a lot to unlearn. I think we put so much emphasis in this society on the importance of a high school diploma. I mean, I've applied for a lot of jobs. No one's ever asked me for mine. But
it's not worth anything anyways. No one looks at your high school diploma and goes, all right, this guy knows how to read. This guy knows his civics. This guy knows his math. I mean, you can't even say that about it.
Well, some employers might care, because they would look at that diploma and they would say, wow, here's a guy who knows how to sit still and follow direction.
Right, and for most corporate, meaningless, assembly line type jobs, that's a pretty important skill to have.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think instead of the idea that we're ahead when we're out of high school, it's more like we're in a hole. And while I would love to talk about, and I have to some extent on my show, about all of the alternatives and new approaches and new ideas, and most importantly, this redefinition of the word itself, we also have to realize the hole we're in and how to get out. You know, like, school is pretty much about the inculcation of obedience and conformity that...
All right, you know, fair enough. I got you there. But can you really say that... Can you just be this critical if you don't have an alternative for educating children? I mean, if this is the best society has to offer?
Like, if I don't have my own system? Or what would my system be?
Right.
Again, in one word, nothing. I don't know how many kids are in public school today, 40 million, 50 million. But education, like I said, this is up to the individual. Everybody has different needs and desires and aspirations. And the idea that you could put them all into the same mold, I think that's really wrong. Education might need to be 10,000 or 100,000 different things. Imagine trying mm-hmm. – I think it would be like trying to centrally plan the internet. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us. Brett Vinat of the School Sucks podcast. Thank you. All right. So finally, for those of you who, like me, never had a date for the prom, our next guests have the solution for that coming up this Saturday in D.C. Joining me now are Edward Dickey and Catherine Tickner. Am I saying that right? Excellent. Two of the organizers of an event that I've been doing my best to promote online via Facebook, and I've been amazed at the reception for this. I told someone about it at the Liberty on the Rocks happy hour the other night, and they were like, oh my gosh, we're there. So I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Tell us first, what event 3 years ago precipitated tomorrow's dance party, silent headphones only dance party at the Jefferson Memorial, kicking off at noon? Be there.
Well, 2 years ago, it was almost 3 years ago, a group of friends went to the Washington Memorial, Jefferson Memorial, to celebrate Jefferson's birthday. They arrived there at midnight.
It was on a Saturday, too.
It was on a Saturday, and it was at midnight. No one was there, and they decided the guy that had led the charge was Jason Talley, he's a real popular activist in New Hampshire, and they decided they'd put their iPod in, their earpods in, headphones in, and that they would silently dance for 10 to 20 minutes celebrating Thomas Jefferson and his ideals.
And the idea was, I mean, you're kind of making fun of the fact that at this memorial, it is a memorial, I shouldn't give air quotes to that. What am I thinking? But at this memorial, that they're celebrating one of America's foremost advocates of free speech and expression.
The father of the Constitution.
That you can't express yourself verbally. You can't make any noise. And they said, okay, we're going to respect that, but we're going to dance. So what happened?
Well, they were dancing, and I guess maybe 5 to 10 minutes in it, security showed up and told them to leave the premises. One woman, Miss Ogunbetter, I believe is her last name, she kept dancing, and she was arrested.
And so what happened this week that is precipitating this event?
This week, a judge ruled that it is basically illegal to, with your iPod in, with your headphones in, it is illegal to dance at the Jefferson Memorial.
Now, you're going to be there rocking out this weekend. What are you going to be listening to?
I am. I think I'm going to go with the dance music as much as possible. Basically, I got involved with this. I was not aware of the first event that happened 2 years ago, but in speaking with Edward about this and hearing the fact that, we're talking about respectful, very respectful self-expression, no boomboxes. This is all silent dancing, and again, in a very unobtrusive manner. And the fact that a judge would rule or at least issue an opinion saying that this was outside of our rights mm-hmm. just seemed almost the antithesis of what the Jefferson Memorial stood for.
All right. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to stick around for a little something special because we're going to demonstrate this for our audience. But I promised them before we get to the dancing that I was going to sing as well. And Ed and Catherine have agreed to help me close out the show with a little thing we've never done before. You've got your headphones, right?
Oh, I do.
Okay. So, regular viewers of the show and fans of the old radio show, Adam versus the Man, are familiar with my passionate disdain for the scam known as intellectual property. And yes, I know, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to respond to all the comments about intellectual property with a long, boring video, and, I might get to it this weekend. But for all you naysayers out there who still think that using the force of government to impede the free flow of ideas is a good thing, I have come up with the greatest argument against intellectual property ever. Are you ready? You see, no School's Out for Summer Special would be complete without a little Alice Cooper, right? And if it wasn't for intellectual property, we could just play a bit of the song here, but instead, I'm going to have to sing it myself. So, School's Out for Summer! School's Out for Summer! School's been blown to pieces. All right, that's our show. Please check out AdamVersusTheMan.com to vote on guests and topics and find me on Facebook and Twitter. As always, you can email me, Adam@AdamVersusTheMan.com and catch this broadcast live as it airs at RT.com/USA and on YouTube. This is Adam Kokesh from Washington, D.C. We'll see you at noon on Saturday at the Jefferson Memorial. Bring your headphones.